All right, everybody, welcome back to another episode of Rebel with a Cause. I am your host, Eric, and joining me this evening, Clint from the Liberty Lockdown Pod. How's it going, buddy?
I'm good, man. Thanks for having me on. I can't wait to talk to you.
Yeah, this was pretty awesome. I go out there and sometimes I ask for people to be on and then they give me all kinds of excuses why they can't. But he was like, no, man, let's do it. So
Yeah, I'm definitely not one of those. I started my podcast, Liberty Lockdown, about 4 months ago during the lockdown.
And yeah, I was about to say, it was right at the beginning, huh?
Exactly. Yeah. Well, it was like a month in after I realized that Gavin Newsom was going to make it so that it was basically illegal for me to continue to operate my business. I was like, well, I'm going to start a podcast so I can scream into the abyss about him. And I have found some people in the abyss. So it's really fun.
Yeah, that's like that old cliche saying, if you're staring into the abyss, sometimes the abyss stares back.
Yes. And it looks a lot like a bunch of angry anarchists and libertarians. So the abyss is not scaring me as much as Gavin Newsom at this point.
Yeah. Newsom. Oh, my God. What a character. A little bit jealous because the man's got a head of hair on him. But
you and me both.
Right. But just a fucking idiot. Oh, my God. And then my favorite is the standing in the about to be burnt down woods. And, you know, I was like, well, this was caused by climate change. I was like, you know, in the 1930s, millions of acres burned in California because it just kind of happens every year.
Sure. Well, that's the funny thing. As someone who's, you know, born and raised in San Diego, I've witnessed forest fires, you know, my entire life. You know, like this is not a new thing.
Right.
But the media and the politicians are successfully even convincing people that have lived here their entire lives that this is like brand new. And I'm like, you guys, I live next to you when we had the fires in 2003. Like,
right.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. There was like, I think it was Kurt, the Libertarian account. He had posted something about, it's like the National Forestry Service and they have records going all the way back to the 1920s. And they've had fires in the 1930s and 40s and everything that were way, way worse than what we have going on today.
And yeah, and it's probably because they weren't doing forest management back then. And then they did. And then it got a little bit better. And then they stopped. And now it's getting worse. And it's the really infuriating part about it is that it's based off of environmentalist complaints. So the environmentalists are preventing us from managing the forests. And then the forests manage themselves. And then we pay the price. And
right. We
pay the price twofold because both our houses are endangered, but then additionally, our tax dollars are because they're going to, you know, slowly and then quickly basically bleed us to death here. It's awful.
Yeah, it's a pretty terrible thing. I think the Sierra Club is like the number one culprit with all of that, too, because they, on one hand, will decry the global warming and everything. And on the other hand, they'll go into those areas where like lower income houses have all burnt up and then buy all that land. And then turn around and sell it for a profit later. So,
well, I hadn't heard that. That's awful if that's true, man. I got to check that out.
Yeah, the Sierra Club is pretty notorious for that kind of thing. They'll just go into an area and buy up whatever land, and then they'll claim, "Oh, well, we're trying to preserve it for nature." And then after about 5-10 years, then they'll sell it.
That is evil shit. I have a similar story, quick one. I own a house on the lagoon in Carlsbad, which is like a little northern enclave of San Diego.
And right.
It's a man-made lagoon, but it was made by man by a weir. A weir is just a man-made dam.
Yep.
About 100 and I think 15 years ago.
Yeah.
And the environmentalists were asked what they want to do with it. And the environmentalists came back with all sorts of reports saying how it needs to be returned to its natural state, to which I said, it's 115 years. Its natural state is fresh water now. You know, like you have an entire environment, an ecosphere of fresh water, birds and wildlife and fish and everything else. And sure enough, City of Carlsbad voted to along the lines of their recommendations. They're going to be opening it up to the ocean and destroying the entire habitat that exists, that it has existed for 115 years.
Head scratchers.
Yeah. It's beyond illogical. It's just, it's psychotic. And these are environmentalists. I can't wrap my head around environmentalists wanting to kill off, you know, an entire freshwater ecosystem. It's mind blowing.
Right. And how many generations of what, frogs, freshwater fish and everything right there? And it's about to be destroyed for what, vanity? To say we did something?
I really don't know. I do not understand their motivation. I mean, there is one underlying factor that makes me feel like the reason the city voted for it is because they want to expand the I-5, the freeway here. But as far as the environmentalist goes, like I read the report because my house is here. Like, it really impacts me. And they come up with all these conclusions that it's just like, it's better to be in its natural state. And they never even consider for a second that, you know, after a century, the natural state has genuinely changed forever, you know? And it's wild.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's my own little backyard complaint. I'll stop.
No, I mean, I totally get it. That's just crazy. a few years ago, I worked with a firm, and we did a wetlands project in False River in Pointe-Coupee Parish, Louisiana. And we created an island out there. And, you know, today that thing is, you know, doing gangbusters. You know, the crocodiles use it to sun themselves, hatch eggs. And there's all kinds of stuff going on up there. It would be the same thing. The environmentalists get a hold of it. It was like, well, you're just going to tear up that island. You know, you can't have it out there anymore. That's so dumb.
Yeah, it's like they don't even consider the fact that nature actually adapts. I know you can't because you're a socialist, but nature will adapt. And after a certain amount of time, they do. And it's exhausting.
Yeah. Go to the U.S. Navy, and they have a program where they take old ships and they strip it of the parts. They blow it up, and when the ship sinks, coral grows on the ship, and it gives fish a sanctuary.
Yeah. I mean, this is not an excuse for us to just dump whatever we want in the ocean. I'm certainly not saying that, but it is true. I mean, it's just simply obviously true that nature adapts to pretty much anything you throw at it, with, you know, obvious rare exceptions. And I just wish that we could have a more level-headed approach to, you know, environmentalism.
Yeah. And, you know, being in the civil engineering world like myself, I mean, that's pretty much what I do all day is coastal water. And So a lot of the stuff is, hey, we're just going to build a flood wall right here so that it's not flooding this business or property. And it's going to be a little bit better for the environment because now we'll have something that's seeding the ground so it's not washing away every time a wave comes in. You know, so you're actually building land. You know, that's kind of these socialists, environmentalists, whatever you want to call them, that want to rewild the United States, and that's a search term for everybody out there. They go off of emotion for everything. So it's like, well, you know, the Earth is bleeding, and Gaia is. You're like, come on, calm down. Let's use your brain.
I just don't understand why those people don't kill themselves. Like, and not that I want them to. I'm just saying. If you're that convinced that humanity is destroying nature and nature is your priority, I don't understand why you're still breathing. It's really bizarre to me.
Yeah. And they're always the ones that are sharing the Agent Smith gif of humans are the virus, you know?
Yes, exactly. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, vaccinate yourself, bro.
Yep. Yeah, please. Do the world a favor. Metaphorically speaking, of course. I don't want
to. Yes.
Yeah.
We're not advocating for suicide. We're just saying, you know, follow your conclusions to their natural end.
Let's take a logical approach to this. You hate people, so why don't you get rid of yourself? I don't know.
You are a person, and what does that mean?
Yeah, it's almost like it doesn't really hit them the way that it, you know, logic and sense and reason and everything would. It's like, okay, well, mankind is destroying the environment. Guess what else? Mankind has the ability to improve the environment as well.
Exactly.
It's kind of what we've done for thousands and thousands of years.
No one ever considers the fact that, you know, they always talk about overpopulation, and they talk about decreasing the population through whatever.
Yeah.
Know, birth control or whatever. Eugenics oftentimes, but they never consider the fact that as the population grows, you have more and more chances of getting that particular Einstein level genius that comes out, the Elon Musk of the world, whoever, that comes up with an invention that actually takes us away from fossil fuels or whatever your boogeyman of modern technology is. It's like, you guys are literally advocating to decrease our chances of fixing this. Like if you view it in that way, which is how I view it, it makes sense. But you know, they're like, no, we got to have one child policy. And if you disagree, we'll put a bullet in your head. I'm like, oh, okay. You're scary.
Yeah. Yeah. On Twitter, I've pretty much given up trying to argue with those type of people that think only with their adrenal glands and nothing else. Cause I mean, I can talk circles around them all day long about this kind of stuff, and they ain't listening to you because the only thing that they see is themselves in charge of everything. And, and if you're in the way of that, you're going to get mowed over.
Exactly. That's why my new out with socialists, cause those are the only people I really care to debate, like a Trump supporter or a Biden supporter. I'm just like, you're not a real critical thinking person usually anyways. So I'm just like, whatever you want to do, just go ahead, proceed into your cult-like behavior. But the socialists are at least thinking about like how to change these things. So I actually sometimes enjoy interacting with them, very rarely. It's very, very rare.
Yeah.
But all I ever advocate with them or for with them is that I want to, you know, talk them into secession being the only answer, where it's like, hey, I will give you your fucking enclave, you psychopath. Let me have mine, where I value freedom and speech and the Second Amendment, et cetera. Like, just go away and I'll go away. You don't want me here. I don't want you here. This is perfect. Like, can we come to that agreement? And sometimes you can talk them into it. It's rare, but sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. I've told the other anarchist, I was like, look, I don't really care if commies are going to do commie shit with themselves, as long as they're doing it over there and not over here. You know,
Exactly. As long as they don't have the power of the state, I don't fear them at all. But they always go for the state, and that's where it gets really shitty.
Yeah, it's always gonna get dicey, and it's not like it's not a tried experiment. You know, we even had a socialist commune over here in the state of Louisiana, and it lasted for a couple of years. And guess what happened? Strongman gets in there, and now people aren't getting paid from the company store and everything else, and it collapsed.
Wait, where was this?
Oh, I gotta remember. I think it was outside of Leesville, Louisiana. It was a little socialist commune in the 1920s.
Oh, wow.
And it collapsed because that's what happened. One guy in charge is not doing the socialism correctly, and there's always somebody else. So,
yeah.
Because he's not doing real socialism.
No, it's never been tried.
Yeah.
People use that as a counter argument to like libertarianism or ANCAP. Utopia discussions, they'll be like, well, point to an example where it's been tried. And I always say, well, it hasn't. We haven't ever really gotten there. And they use that as a counter to my argument, as if like, well, if we've never tried that, then you can't know that it's good. I'm like, yeah, but I know what's happening now is bad. So maybe you might want to give it a shot, maybe give me like a patch of dirt so I could try it myself and you don't have to be here. And we can just use me as an experiment, use me as a guinea pig. And Still often not an acceptable counter argument.
Yeah. And really the only thing that's ever come close to a pure anarchy, those, the Irish tribalism days before the Romans showed up was moderately successful. Everyone kind of stuck to their own family units and they didn't go out trying to plunder other people and they traded with themselves. There was an area in Pakistan, that stayed out of virtually everybody else's affairs. But I think the environment over there kind of tore them under, because now that's the hottest place on earth and nothing can live there. So it's like one of those type of things.
Yeah. And honestly, any historical attempts at an ANCAP type free society, it's really hard to it's not an apples to apples thing, because it's like in modern days with modern technology, like we really don't know what we could do at this junction. So I just want to find out. Are you a secessionist type?
I am because I look at it this way. I was like, okay, I'm tired of New Yorkers ragging on the South all the time. New York, stay up there, okay?
Yeah.
Let the South.
Like we don't have slaves anymore. You can let us go.
Yeah. Let us do our own little thing. Texas, let Texas do its own little thing. Let the West Coast do its own little thing. And in fact, I even came up with like an idea of splitting up the United States into four different sections. That way all four sections have an equal ground to the Midwest, all of the, you know, places where we typically grow food. And, sure. And some people's like, oh yeah, I could see that. It was like, okay, good. I got you at least that far.
That's great. Yeah. I mean, that I would like to see more than four, but four would be a start. Like
four would definitely be a good start too. Cause
yeah, it'd be an amazing start. I just want any step in the direction of us, you know, taking the knives away from each other's throats. Like it's getting to such a fever pitch in terms of dialogue. I don't even know if you should call it dialogue, but
you know, shouting at each other. Like,
yeah, exactly. There's no capacity for a meeting of the minds with these people. It's like, socialists, I can get along with you if you don't want the state. But if you want the state, you know, if you're like, that's why the leftist libertarian people drive me so fucking crazy. Cause I just can't understand them. Like I literally can't even wrap my head around it. And I know Michael Malice always talks about how anarchists from their origin were leftists.
Right.
And it's like, okay, yeah, I get that. But they were also, they wanted to have no government. The modern left libertarian still wants a government. And if that's the case, then you're a commie. Like I can't have you be a leftist and want the government. Like you can be an anarchist leftist if you want to just commune it up and leave me the fuck alone. That's great.
Right.
But there's so few of them.
Yeah. I was at the 2018 National Convention when the whole Libertarian Socialist Caucus thing was going around.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And running into a few of these guys in the elevator and, you know, kind of looking over on their phone and everything while they didn't think I was paying attention. And they're talking to somebody from DSA, the Democratic Socialist of America.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. And they're all talking about, yeah, you know, they're just not letting us get in there and we can't really do anything because, you know, they have their bylaws and their rules and stuff.
They have their bylaws where they don't want us to kill landowners and...
And they keep misgendering me and
they're not respecting my pronouns at all.
it's so funny. And did you ever see that little video clip of the DSA like convention or whatever?
And oh then, yes. Yeah. It was legendary.
I was just sitting there looking, I was like, you people with the gender pronouns in your profile, you're going to be the first ones lined up on the wall because, you're taking too much Western indulgences with the whole homo thing. So you might want to look into the history of communism just a little bit.
Yeah. They're not exactly kind to the trans community. I don't know if you're aware of that, but yeah, that's the funny part. How somehow the left has co-opted the acceptance culture of just, you know, a big open arms net to catch anybody who's, I don't know, a minority in society. It's like, guys, you don't just open one history, but please, God, just learn where this path leads for you and your people. It's not pretty.
Yeah. My other favorite was showing them the pictures of Che Guevara killing the lesbian couple, you know?
Yes, exactly.
I was like, these were lesbians. I was like, no, they were traitors to the cause. I was like, yeah, but they were lesbians. That was the treasonous act that they committed.
Yeah, your minority class goes away as soon as you know don't give up your property. So
yeah,
and good luck.
Would like to add, they were shot and then fed to crocodiles. So
oh Jesus,
you know, because the crocodiles get to eat.
Yeah, there's nothing better than a woke warrior wearing a Che Guevara shirt. You're like, oh. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, you just look at him and you're like, oh man.
I realize he's a handsome dude, but come on.
Yeah, like. Go down to Little Havana in Miami and wear a Che Guevara t-shirt and see how long you last with some of those old guys. Yeah, because like most of them are like, were alive while that guy was running around and they don't have very kind things to say to him. So.
Yeah, the him or Castro.
Yeah.
And I feel like a few decades from now, people will be wearing Gavin Newsom on their shirt and I'll just fucking flip out on him.
I was like, you don't understand, little whippersnapper.
That dude's going to run for president. Like, I feel it in my bones.
Oh, and he'll win because he's got like a 19-inch part in his hair. So it's a...
Yeah, he's a real handsome tyrant. I do not look forward to it.
Hey, Clint, it's time for an obscene profit break. Obscene in the fact that I don't really make any profit at it. And we're back.
Yeah,
I'm actually trying to move to Puerto Rico because I got to get the fuck out of here. But they're now if Biden gets elected, he's talking about turning Puerto Rico into a state. In which case, I'm fucked there, again. So
yeah, there goes any kind of federal income tax shield you were thinking about there.
Yeah, well, the cool thing is that when you move there under Act 60, you sign a 15-year contract. So theoretically, if that contract holds, even if it becomes a state, I would still get the special expat. You know, or not expat, but whatever.
Yeah.
Tax treatment for until like 2035. So I don't know. I'm going to have to talk to my attorney.
Yeah. We can always ask the Chiricahua how government contracts work, but.
Sorry. I'm not familiar with that one.
Oh, Chiricahua Indians, the Apache, you know, it's like, they signed a treaty. They signed a treaty and then the government immediately went back on it.
Yeah. That didn't work out so well. I have a feeling that's what's going to happen, but my hope is that because there's a lot richer people than me that have already moved to Puerto Rico, that hopefully they've lobbied enough that we'll still get a loophole. But yeah, I'm not banking on it. We'll see.
Yeah, there's a lot of times I have to catch my pessimism because I just get like really like down in the dumps with it.
Oh, so, yeah. Believe me, I flip between black and gray pilled. I'm very rarely white.
it's a tough thing. It's a tough thing because it was like, history has all taught us that this isn't going to go well. But maybe some rich folks have sent a whole bunch of weasels up to Washington and gotten the ear of a congressman or a senator or two, hopefully.
Yeah, I mean, there's legit billionaires that have moved there, so I have to believe that they have some political pull, but they're also, you know, libertarian leaning folks, so
yeah,
who knows? You know, maybe they don't have any political pull. I really don't know. I'll find out the hard way.
Yeah.
Well, me and Peter Schiff will meet in prison.
Yeah. Yeah, I've often joked that, we'll all be in the FEMA camp one day. Hopefully I'm there telling jokes as morale support for everybody else, you know.
Exactly. I'll be running the black market.
And then we'll just have to redo The Great Escape. You know, who's going to be Big X? And we'll have to have like that little network of whenever the Stooges are around, we're all knocking with pipes and everything.
I really don't think that the ANCAPs end up in FEMA camps. I just don't see us laying down our arms and ever being taken away, but I could be sadly disappointed. I don't know.
I was like, we may be taken, but probably going to go through a hospital first, maybe.
Exactly. Yeah. I might end up in a FEMA camp, but I won't end there without bullet holes in me.
Yeah, exactly. A couple of years ago, I wrote a short story that I never published anywhere. It was about a resistance leader getting captured, and the powers that should not be had this device that would not let you die because the extreme punishment was your soul couldn't go to heaven. And so they just kept this guy around forever.
Oh, Jesus. don't give him ideas, man.
I know. I was like, should I hit publish on this? I was like, nah, no. If they're not working on it, they're like, could we? Maybe. I don't know.
Can't believe we're recording this during the VP debate. I mean, we're missing such great material.
Yeah, missing it, maybe not.
I'm it's pure sarcasm.
Yeah, of course.
Mike Pence has never said a single fucking word I found interesting, and Kamala just makes me want to tear out my eyeballs. So I don't know. I did record it. I might watch it later, but only for Twitter screaming material.
Yeah, for the shits and giggles, of course. Yeah, there's nothing that Mike Pence could say that I would never immediately fall asleep. I want to fall asleep just looking at that guy's face.
He is the pinnacle of like Christian conservatism in terms of appearance. You're just like that's a you see him just walking down the street. You're like, Christian conservative. I see you coming a mile away, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah, he's the type who definitely has the cross on his business cards.
Yes, exactly. Motherfucker doesn't eat with, he doesn't have any interaction with another woman and himself. None.
That's
amazing. Either his wife is a total psychopath or he has way too much confidence in his own ability to pick up women that he's like, I cannot be around them. They will throw themselves at me. I mean, or he's got Biden syndrome where he'll just grope them the second they're alone together.
He's like, oh, you're tempting me, you devil. Let me get over here and sniff the back of your neck.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's either that or he's going to do like a Joel Osteen thing. So as soon as he gets done giving a speech and, you know, he high fives the staffer behind there. It's like, that's how you get it done, motherfucker. Yeah. And then Kamala Harris, who literally slept her way to the top. It's just awful. I was watching like the little bit of the news, you know, it's like, well, they need to bring up this point and this point. And of course it's everything that the media wants them to bring up.
I think that's the most respectable thing about her is that she slept her way to the top. If otherwise off of her merit, she just imprisoned people aggressively. It's like, she's a disaster. Yeah. I can't believe that they picked Biden and Kamala Harris, like the two pinnacles of the war on drugs and the over imprisonment system. And they're just like, yeah, Black Lives Matter is, you know, tearing up the country right now. Let's have these two as our figurehead for this moment. Are they trying to lose? I've asked this from other people. Like, I can't tell. This can't possibly be what they actually think is the best ticket. Is it?
Yeah. If it's not a total lack of self-awareness, then they are definitely trying to throw it.
Or do they just think so little of their voters that they're like, the media will tell them that they're good, even though that their record is the absolute antithesis of everything that they stand for. I don't know.
Yeah, that's a tough one, because as soon as I heard, it was like, okay, well, it's going to be Biden and then he's going to pick Kamala Harris. So I was like, wait, the guy who wrote the 94 crime bill, the whole three strikes, and then Kamala Harris, a literal cop. I don't get this.
Yep. Cop and a DA. So she was really responsible for putting people behind bars. I have a left-leaning libertarian friend. I use the friend word lightly because he and I are at odds so often. But he said today that he would prefer Biden over Trump. And I can't really wrap my head around that one. Do you have any? I mean, and for the record, I do not like Trump and I'm not an advocate for his whatsoever. Yeah. But I just don't know how anyone could say that Biden, if you're a libertarian leaning person, how you could say that the guy who's calling for national mask mandates and everything else in his record, the war on drugs and the actual wars and the war on terror and the NSA, TSA, everything.
Yeah.
It's like, how is he better? I can't possibly see it.
Yeah, you can't see it because it's not there.
Okay. Just making sure.
No, you're not crazy. That guy's crazy.
It makes me feel crazy because he's like, yeah, I'm probably going to vote for Joe, but like Jorgensen.
Yeah.
But you know, I'd still rather have Biden than Trump. And I just, fuck, I can't wrap my head around it. It's really tough, but I can't talk to him about it. Cause every time we talk, we yell at each other. So
yeah, of course.
I don't know. Yeah. Predictable. Yeah,
I think the only thing that can explain that is just Trump derangement syndrome on that one. It's just, that makes me crazy. He's got, you know, bad spray tan and he says curse words.
Yeah. he was actually a pretty hard believer on the Russian collusion thing, which despite all evidence that I tried to provide to him, I could not dissuade him. He was just like, Russia is super dangerous. And he is, you know, in their pocket. And I'm just like, wow, I don't see that at all, but okay.
Yeah. I shut that down with a friend in quotes. I was like, the Russia. And I was like, okay, Joe McCarthy, it's totally different. I was like, is it?
Well, it is different. Russia is actually no longer a threat, whereas they used to be when Joe McCarthy was talking about it. It's fucking crazy to me. Yeah. I'm not a fan of Trump, but he's right when he pivots to China when people talk about Russia. Like, China is obviously a bigger threat to us if you're going to view any foreign country as a threat.
Right.
I don't see Russia as a viable threat to our, you know, imperialist hegemony. So I don't understand it. It just seems like they buy the media lies, and the media has lied so aggressively for so many years that it's genuinely convinced people.
Yeah. It's the other crazy thing about that is, Democrats excel at this of I'm going to shout from the top of a mountain, all of the things that I'm doing, but I'm going to project it onto you. So in the case of the Russian collusion, we found out that Hillary Clinton was actually involved with getting secret info from a foreign agent. You know,
and Joe Biden.
Yeah. And Joe Biden with his son taking a whole bunch of money from Burisma and, you know, Russian oligarchs and everything else. So it's like, but that damn Trump,
but it actually sticks.
Yeah.
It actually sticks to Trump. Whereas they, like, Biden was asked about it during the first debate and he just goes, ah, that's been totally discredited. And Chris Wallace, a fucking reporter,
yeah,
says nothing. He just goes, okay, it's been discredited. Forget my question, sir. I'm so sorry I asked.
Yeah, good old Chris Wallace. It's like, okay, Biden, it's now my turn to start debating Trump. You're supposed to be the moderator.
Oh, you know what I heard? And I don't know if this is true, but I heard that he was like an apprentice in Biden's office back in the day. Did you hear that?
That actually may be true. Probably back in the 1980s?
Like 70s. Yeah, 70s or 80s.
Yeah, something like that.
Blew my mind. I was like, wow. Because he's a Fox News guy, so he got to have, you know, have the cover of being the conservative pundit, but he's actually in Biden's, you know, pocket. It's
no, he's a New York conservative, which really means, you know, Democrat.
Yeah, which means that he should get along with Trump because he's a Democrat too.
Right. Yeah, I was making the joke right after he got elected and started doing the bump stock ban and everything else. I was like, so how's that voting for LBJ with a bad spray tan working out for some of you conservatives out there?
Yeah, he's been worse on Second Amendment than Biden or Obama was. So, yeah, I have no horse in this race. But I have no horse in this race, I'm in California. My vote doesn't matter, you know, but
right.
I put it out on Twitter today. That, you know, true democracy, I'm letting a Twitter poll decide how I vote. And I said that you can either pick Trump or you can pick Joe Jorgensen. You can't pick Biden because I love black people too much. And right. no one has given me any pushback on not having Biden on that poll. It's hysterical.
Yeah, I can imagine that somewhere in socialist Twitter, somebody read it and was like, you know what? I'm just not going to respond.
Well, it's like 50-50 between Jorgensen and Trump right now. And I have almost exclusively libertarian and ANCAP, you know, followers, and it's still 50-50. That just goes to show how poor the Jorgensen campaign has found common cause with the more fringe elements of our movement. And I honestly, I wish I could get her or Spike on my show so I could try and get to the bottom of their actual philosophy as opposed to some of their social media missteps. Because I know I hear Jorgensen speak, for the most part, I'm a pretty big fan. Spike less so. He seems to be more of the left libertarian type, but I actually like Jorgensen. It just seems like they put some fucking, you know, apprentice or volunteer in charge of their social media and it backfired.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's actually the case. There is a lefty libertarian type that's in charge of her social media account. So,
Yeah. I heard that, but I think we're mutuals and I follow her and I like her, but damn, if she's actually responsible for the BLM hashtags and the you got to be actively anti-racist shit, it's like, wow, what a mistake.
Yeah, it's
read the room.
Yeah, there's as far as the culture war stuff, that libertarians need to stay away from that topic altogether. Just bring it back to look at all the wars that we're involved in. Look at the war on drugs; it's failed, and the plant won. But you know, can't do that.
I actually disagree a little bit. I think that we have the best argument in the culture war is to say that we have been advocating against the war on drugs and the, you know, over imprisonment and harsh drug laws, criminal laws, everything. And these people are pandering to you, but we have meant this forever. So like, why not give us a serious look? I agree with you. Like, we shouldn't get too deep into the culture war, but right. In terms of running on our record of what we believe in, I think that it really sells well to the Black Lives Matter people. So I don't understand why you wouldn't go that route of like, hey, these people are full of shit. We're not. We have evidence of it. Check us out. But they didn't go that route. They're just like, we're going to say the words. We're going to say the magic words you demand of us. It's like, fuck you.
Yeah, no, you're right. It's one thing. It's like, look, we've been screaming about this since 1971. We told you about over-policing. We told you about the drug war. We've been right this whole time, you know.
Yep.
I've made the little joke where, you know, I'll put the picture of Jay-Z up there, and the quote is, "I've got 99 problems, and the state caused all of them." So it's
it's true. I mean, I've got a few other problems, but they're of my own creation. The rest are all the state.
Yeah, problems 100 and 101. Those are interpersonal problems, and I swear I'm working on them. And
that's my anxiety disorder and my unwillingness to, you know, stop eating terrible food.
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes, you know, you walk by the Pringles and it's like, ooh, pizza flavor. Yeah, for me, it's almonds that have the seasonings on them, because then I'm like, oh, everything bagel almonds. Surely these can't be bad.
that sounds awesome. Honestly, if it weren't for the flavoring, almonds are pretty good for you. But I'm like keto diet all the time, so
right.
I think that would fly. But then the seasoning stuff would almost certainly knock me out of ketosis. So
oh yeah, saying. Yeah. I'm the no sugar, no grains guy, and which is like keto ish, I guess. So it's you look on back at some of those, and you know, usually like third or fourth ingredient, dextrose. You know, it's a sugar.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you do it for dietary purposes, like just to stay in shape, or do you do it for other reasons?
Originally, it's because I was almost 400 pounds. I was like, every time I stepped every time I stepped on the scale, it said E for a long time. And
well, good for you, man.
So I was like, okay, I got to do something here. And then I found out I had Hashimoto's. So it's going to make, exercise and weight loss that much more difficult. And so I discovered this crazy Cajun guy called Vinny Tortorich, who used to live out there in Los Angeles and now has moved over to Virginia. So, but he was like saying, look, you just cut out all of the garbage, sugar, grains, potatoes, anything that comes in a box or in a bottle, just don't eat it. Eat real food and you'll lose weight. So I started doing it in 2016. And the first couple of months, I think I lost like 40 pounds, like right up top. And then just been steadily going down. And like now I'm, about 110 off from where I was. So.
God damn, man. Good for you. That's awesome.
Yeah. In the DM, I'll share a picture of what I looked like back then.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you can see. Yeah. So
see the before and after. Well, that's great, man. I think I got after like 10 years ago, maybe longer, maybe 15 years ago.
Yeah.
I got up to 235, and that was, I'm 6'1", so for me that was really heavy.
Yeah, I'm 6'1" too. So 235, you're starting to look a little chunky there. So
yeah, you get heavy there. I'm down to 210 now. My peak weight, I got down to 190, but then I got in a relationship, and you get comfortable and lazy. So now she just broke up with me, so now I get to get back in shape.
Oh, good. So you got like post relationship rage pounds to lose. So there you go,
dude. That's what I do, man. anytime I break up with a girl, I end up in the best shape of my life. So that's the one positive of having your heart broken is you go ham in the gym.
Just take whatever aggression that you had out just on the dumbbells itself. It's like,
I do, man. I do. It's probably unhealthy, but I figure like it's the most healthy of my unhealthy options. Like some people drink, some people, eat their sorrows away. I just go fucking crazy at the gym. So
yeah,
that's what I'm gonna do.
Yeah. Yeah. You just get out there and get in the squat rack and it's like, and I can't believe this bitch said that.
She never told her family about me, fucking bitch.
Never told her family about you, Jesus.
She never did, dude. We dated for almost 3 years.
Three? No, no way. Just
I swear to God.
Oh, that hurts. That hurts me. I'm not even involved, and that hurts me.
And you want it to be even crazier?
Yeah,
I'm not an embarrassment. I'm like really successful. Yeah. And like it's one of the weirdest things I've ever experienced in my life. She just kept saying that our relationship isn't in a place where she feels comfortable, telling them. And I just kept saying, well, I don't feel comfortable in this structure.
Right.
So I don't know how I can like treat you right long enough for you to feel comfortable enough to tell your family. So it was a total chicken the egg scenario, and it lasted for fucking years. And I was like, all right, yep. It's over.
Yeah. What else aren't you telling me at this point? Yeah.
That's exactly what I started to think. And I don't know. I may never find out, but you know what? Whatever.
Yeah. I mean, you've got real estate banking knowledge, very stable, mentally secure. And
well, I don't know about the stable mentally, but I am like, I'm 38 years old and I'm basically retired. So if that's not appealing, enough to tell your family about me, I don't know what is. You know, I speak well, I'm eloquent, I'm kind, I'm like, I present myself professionally. I wouldn't use the N word in front of your father. You know, like I'm a good guy. Come on.
Right.
And it just never worked.
That's just crazy. I've got nothing. Yeah. Wow.
This was just a good therapy session. Thank you for that.
Oh, you're welcome. Yeah. Sometimes you just got to say it out loud. And, that was just definitely one of those times.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like probably. All of my, previous relationship have all ended in like flames and, you know, crying and people's feelings getting hurt. And
yeah,
it's like,
I'm not that type. I don't know why I always end up being friends with them after. This may be a different scenario given the potential for deception.
Yeah. The circumstances. Yeah. It's like, I've ended a relationship. It was like, oh, what do you mean you're married?
Wait, you were dating a girl that you found out was married?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, she just like outed it herself. And she's like, yeah, I think I've thought it over and I'm definitely going to leave my husband for you. I'm like, wait, hold on. Back up the fucking truck.
Whoa. Red flag alert.
Yeah. I was like, yeah, this is over. yeah, I was like, then it descends into shouting matches. I was like, well, you never asked. I was like, I didn't think I had to.
Dating married chicks is the best because then they take all of their baggage and anger out on their husbands, and then they just come to you for fun. Sorry, that was a really shitty thing to say, but I stand by it.
You cad. Just to use old 1940 speak. It's just...
Her husband may look like a rube, but I'm a cad, so whatever.
Yeah. Damn it if I don't look good in a suit, baby. Yeah, it's so funny. Oh man. Well, it's we'll just leave it off right there with the single therapy session going on right there. Clint, go ahead and give us all your plugs.
Yeah. On Twitter, I'm at Liberty Lock Pod. And if you want to listen to more of my rants and, relationship trauma, it is Liberty Lockdown Podcast. You can find me on iTunes, Spotify, SoundCloud, just fucking search for it. You'll find it. Liberty Lockdown.
Yeah. It's great. He's a great follow. Definitely do that on Twitter. Not a overweight rotund woman in a bikini. sadly,
we know, were all dude, hoping. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I have an operation later this year, and hopefully I can become that for you.
Oh, okay. Good. You're in transition. I guess I should have been calling you ma'am this whole time.
It's ma'am.
It's
I will not, ma'am. I will not be changing my pronouns. So you're safe.
Oh, good. All right, Clint, we'll take it easy, man. We'll catch you around the old timeline, okay?
Appreciate you.
All right.
See ya.
All right, and there he goes, folks. Clint from Liberty Lockdown Pod. Such a great guest. That was really fun. Love talking to that guy. Anyways, you can head down to the show notes and check out where you can find him on Twitter and his website and podcast and everything else going on there. And you can also find my website and all of the links to support this show as well, because I've got the Patreon, the Subscribestar, the Float, Cash App, PayPal. It's all up in there. Oh, by the way, if you are listening to it this deep into the show, I've checked the ratings and reviews on iTunes, and I see 8. It's been 8 for a long time. If you could, do me a solid. Go through there. Give me a rating and review. And that way the show will get in front of new eyeballs and into new ear holes. That's what I'm looking for here. Anyways, guys, take it easy, and we'll come at you next time with a brand new episode of Rebel with a Cause. Out. Hey, Rebel, that guy said he's retired at 38. You're 41, buddy. Fuck you, Harry.